Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday night, that's the Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Plex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust them, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez.
Mr.
This show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag. Y'all need some wrestling history. Better listen to Chad.
They're
rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition, too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw. Go on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859. This is the Perfect Plex Radio, man. Y'all, you know what it is. Yo, Mike Knox, I see you, man.
You
got $1 million audience, man. Matter of fact, let's talk wrestling, man. Enough of this, man. It's your boy, Fred Nux. Get at him.
Do you smell with Knox is cooking?
That Mania 2 coming soon.
Do you smell with Knox is cooking? And that's spelled with three X's. Cause damn it, I am hardcore. Cheer, let's get ready, baby. Perfect Plex Talk Radio. Live and 5, 4.
Right here in the barbershop, where barbershop talk meets radio. I am your host, Mike Knox. And indeed, I spell my name with three X's because, like the award show I came up with, I am part of the Plexing People. 347-637-3859 is number to call in. I am doing double duty right now. And I'm not talking about the kind of duty that all you other talk show hosts do on your talk shows, where I'm not taking a dump on the program. I'm actually doing the program while I'm watching the Eagles at the same time. But the only kind of duty you know is the kind of duty that you put up. You put up a bullshit talk show. So welcome to the show, the pros, the icons, and the marks, the smart marks, the show for the intelligent wrestling fan. Hell, even if you think you got wrestler superior wrestling intellect, which is the stupidest fucking thing I ever heard of in my entire fucking life, you're welcome on this program as well, people. We have a plethora of things to talk about tonight. First and foremost, the week in wrestling. We'll bring you what we thought was the year's best in the form of the nomination for this year's Plexi Awards. People, the Plexi nominations, we will let you guys see what they are. King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter. As I give the nominations, we'll put a poll up, and I'll see what you guys have to say about that. Also, we will deal into the week in wrestling. Holden? That's not Holden? All right. And we will also talk about hashtag death to dirt sheet. A new twist, if you will, so to speak, get it, on how we're going to do things around here, if you will. Okay? We're going to have dirt sheet. We're going to read it. We're going to ask you two questions. Is it too sweet to believe it? Or I've got two words for you and suck it, because it's such a lie. But as always, welcome to the program. I can't do this thing by myself. Make sure you follow me on Twitter by my namesake. I am loud if you can't tell. I speak loud if you can't tell. And fellas, if you're not making a laugh, well, frankly, that ain't my fault. Mike knocked on the Twitter. But I'm joined today by no other than the MC of MC. He is now joining the host of hosts. He is Dice Man on the Twitter. Dice, what's going on today?
Oh, yeah, baby. What's going on, man? I'm just here chilling. I'm chilling, watching the game with you. I'm right here with you. Go, Eagles, go. Fly, baby, fly.
You're my little Scooby-Doo laugh on right now. I thought you was going to, like, start and then stop, and you just kept going the whole time. Yeah, so that kind of threw me off. But, yeah, I am, guys. I am trying to do double duty. I pushed the show back a half an hour from 7 to 7:30, and I said, you know what, I can't sit here. Oh, he throws the ball to a lineman. Oh, 3rd and 14, that's incomplete, that's illegal. You can't throw the ball to a lineman. But we're here to talk pro wrestling, not professional football. So let's just go ahead and get into it. The week that was professional wrestling, we got to see Monday Night Raw, which got to see a couple wrinkles, if you will. Started off, to me, I thought it was a very hot start, Dice, where we got Roman in the ring. For his intercontinental, what was the thing called? You know, the open invitational.
Yeah.
So they do that. Jason Jordan answered the call, but Samoa Joe comes out as well. All that goes on. But before we go into the week of wrestling, let's just go ahead and get the elephant out the room. Y'all know him as Bub from the Wire. WWE called him Rich Swann, but I will always call him Bub from the Wire. Okay. Now, in the words of King Von Jr. 720 on Twitter, he actually is a member of The Wire, as he's been arrested for, seriously, for domestic abuse, false imprisonment, and kidnapping. Now, with all due respect to my white friends out there, this is why I tell my brothers, you don't marry a white woman, okay? Because what the hell did she do to this man that she's doing this black man so crazy? He kidnapped her ass. That must be some really good pink toe. That's all I'm going to say about that one, DJ. Seriously, Christ, man, what's going on with your boy Rich Swann, man? Is he really trying to, can he just not handle it?
Didn't this happen with, like, an NFL player before, too, in, like, a false imprisonment? They try to, like, impersonate a cop or something. I believe so. It happened, like, in the past year or two. But, seriously, this is the worst.
And he's been suspended, too. Zero tolerance involving domestic violence, by the way.
This is like the worst possible thing you can do besides like murder and rape.
Really a joke. Exactly. Like, this isn't he should be fired. Let's be real. I don't care. We talk about the NFL and Ezekiel Elliott, all the stuff we know. Even if you're not a sports fan, you know about Ezekiel Elliott. You've got to be fired. You kidnapped your wife and you held her against her will.
He will never wrestle again in any promotion. I don't believe he will. I think this is done. Once this is on your record, something like this is just it's unforgivable to the public, honestly.
Can I say allegedly? Or are these charges so, like, I mean, we're supposed to say allegedly, right? Because you're innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, correct?
Yeah, I think you did it.
But you see the mugshot? If you saw the mugshot, he clearly did it. He looked guilty on his mugshot.
You like he was on some pills or something.
What's Mike over there saying? What is he saying?
You said, should you wait in the chat?
Yeah, because I got two computers doing two different things. I'm gonna have you be responsible for the chat today.
Yeah, he says allegedly. He said we use the term allegedly until the case goes all the way through. But
okay,
nah, he looked like he did it. He looked like he was on a pill or something.
Let me just say this to Micah, right? This show is not part of Fox Sports Radio, so the hell with that shit. That motherfucker is guilty. You should not see the mugshot. I've never seen a mugshot where a person looks so guilty in my entire life, okay? I woke up this morning at, 4 a.m., okay? And I had got a text from, you know, I hate to say this because everybody says they have them, but honestly, I kind of do. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to say sources. From somebody I know within the company sent me this text that you see this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm always, what's the word they use? Is it an embargo code? I didn't sign anything, but I guess it's under good records or good faith that I don't be the first one to report certain things. You know what I mean? So I waited till everybody else started, started getting a hold of things, and then I went ahead and released it from Soul and Sports as well as Perfect Flex Talk Radio on the Twitter as well. But I made a joke about the white woman, and that's in all fairness. Like, come on, my top 25 female list is coming out tomorrow, and there's a few white women on there, including Taylor Swift. Okay, I got love for the white woman. Okay, I'm just saying. What did she do that was so bad that he kidnapped her?
Probably smelled grits cooking.
Cheating? Was she cheating on you? Did JoJo have something to do with this? Because you know JoJo gets around. Okay. Was this JoJo? Or was, like, seriously, JoJo, Paige, one of them got involved in this. Okay. One and two. Got involved. Field goal's good, but he had a field goal wiped off. They brought it back. I'm giving out updates like the wrestling fans care. I'm sorry, guys. This is my team. And I felt like it was my fault, Dyson, maybe, because I had the white Eagle jersey on. When I said whatever color they wear, I was going to wear that jersey. And I was trying to put a different build on my Cody. And it took me like 2.5 hours. So when halftime came, I switched. As soon as I switched to the green jersey, Carson Wentz got hurt. Literally the second I put on, he got hurt. And I said, in my mind, I have the thing, I'm a Cubs fan, you know, at heart. So I go, like, there's really no such thing as bad luck in sports, but your mind will play tricks on you. I learned that from the Ghetto Boys when I was a kid, you know what I mean? So I understand your mind can do things to you. And clearly, minds were playing tricks on Bubs from The Wire, a.k.a. Rich Swann, when he kidnapped, false imprisonment, and held her against her will, his wife. When this thing hits the fan, I'm with you, Dice Man. He will never work for an organization again except for your local bingo hall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's just a mark you don't want to see on your resume.
The worst part about it is he just won a fatal four-way to put him into contention for the Cruiserweight title. And not just that. I said a couple weeks ago on The Week in Wrestling that when him and Alexander got together, I thought they were an awesome tag team, the two of those guys together. And I don't see Vince McMahon giving this guy a call, you know. Like I said, allegedly is what we're supposed to say. And honestly, I hope it is some kind of misunderstanding. Let's be real here. I doubt it. You know, I find it hard-pressed to believe that a white woman's going to say you kidnapped her and you didn't. You know, so I mean, this ain't like you're playing hide-and-go-seek and you forgot that she, you know, she was it. You know, so you hit her yourself. I don't know.
I think WWE has enough evidence because usually they don't break a story that quickly. So I think they have enough evidence.
Well, it got
to
broke everywhere, though. I think at that point we have taken notice that they do get their own / news so that they don't have to wait for somebody else. So when this got hit by TMZ, by Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I mean, I don't even want to name the other, you know, publication, Dirt Sheets, E! Wrestling News, Powers of Pain, you name it, everybody, you know. When they all got a hold of it, I thought they had no choice but to go ahead and release this information. Women do false accusations against men all the time, especially if they are getting pissed at you. That is true. That is true. However, you know, that's one hell of a freaking false claim. That's a heck of a false claim.
Listen, that mugshot, like, that man was already in his jail jumpsuit. That man did it.
So he actually thought it was Halloween, and he dressed up like Nails. And he said, I'm going to be the black version of Nails. And got caught. And now he's crying me a river, I guess. But moving on to the weekend wrestling, to me, you know, I'm not a fan of this, you know, what show better than that show, better than that show, better than that show. I actually like Raw a lot, but I love the stories that SmackDown told me and going into Clash of the Champions, where now we have this whole big concern, is he or isn't he turning heel in the form of Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon. Can you shed any light on your opinion about where that story is going? Because, you know, us, we like to just keep it in the story, and we like to keep the fun in wrestling. We don't want to overanalyze the situation, but what we saw and make what we think is possibly happening from here, Dice. Your thoughts?
I think what it is, it's similar to what type of match is Triple H going to have at Mania? Like, he has so many different routes, and so I think they're trying to see – they're trying to just bit by bit.
Now, we're talking about
Raw,
talking about SmackDown.
No. I'm talking about the Daniel Bryan thing, but I'm also comparing it to the different options that we can have with the Triple H thing, because there's nothing set in stone. You remember when Triple H came back, he had, like, three different things going at one time. So you figure, like – the thing with Daniel Bryan is, if we don't know if he's going to be a face or he's a heel, I think that kind of it's buying time to where they see whether or not he can actually go, and which the rumor is SummerSlam is what they're aiming for. This is one of the rumors that I read. I'll get into that a little bit later on.
Dirt sheet you read? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Can I already say? Because I made a proclamation that I said that will come true. I'm already going to say I got two words for SummerSlam as far as Daniel Bryan wrestling and ass. Suck it! All right, a little early. I predicted on my own dirt sheet here that I said live, he wrestles at WrestleMania.
Mm.
So, remember I said that. Remember I said a while ago, before any of this storyline stuff ever took place, because to me, wrestling loves a story. We go back in time. Was it 98, 99? Wrestling historians, please don't get mad at me. Mrs. Foley's baby boy, was that 98, 99? The story, right?
I think that was 98.
The story of 98, right? Of mankind. What's a better story than his biggest triumphant win, right? WrestleMania 30. Now, we know he came at, and won the Intercontinental title in San Francisco, but nobody really. That's kind of an unforgettable moment, if you will, because, a month later he was gone, right? So you go back to where his biggest moment was in New Orleans, and you do that. I don't think they went to New Orleans for him. New Orleans just probably put up more money to get WrestleMania. But I just think it's apropos that he'll be back there. But to interrupt that one thing I was going to say, and that's with Triple H, I don't think Triple H's involvement had to do with anything that involves Daniel Bryan. Now, to open up the windows where you were going, Shane McMahon, maybe. Continue.
Yeah, what I'm saying is it – whether or not it depends what Daniel Bryan is depends on how good the other storylines develop, because there's always somebody that gets left out at Mania and it's just like, all right, so what can we piece together? So you figure, all right, Daniel Bryan is going to go face against who? So, or he's going to be heel against who? It would have to be whoever doesn't have that set in stone plan. And they just can't figure out what to do, and for some reason they get involved with Daniel Bryan. Same thing like with the Triple H thing. Like, what was the need to have him get involved with Braun Strowman the way that he did? So that's why I say it's very reminiscent.
I think it's him and Braun at WrestleMania. To be honest, I think it's Triple H and Braun.
Really? Do you see that even as a challenge for Braun? I think we lost Mike. Hello? Yo.
I'm back.
We good?
You hear me?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear right.
You. You did lose me. I didn't know if it was – listen, man, these damn – I don't know. You can hear me now, right?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Now, I was saying, did you respond to what I said? Because we're having technical difficulties.
No, I didn't hear anything. I don't think that Braun versus Triple H is an actual challenge for Braun, just by the way they've built him up in the past year.
To me, the only thing that makes sense with Trips is Kurt Angle. That's,
exactly.
To me, the only thing that makes sense, because you got to put Kurt in a position where he can look good, but he has to get beat up very well. So that doesn't, that to me, Trips and Angle does such a good job together in their history before they had in the past. We know that Trips is very good at beating someone down and is I don't want to say decrepit, that which I just did, right? But as beat down as Kurt's body has been over the last 2 years, right? He can't be the leader in the match. So Triple H will be the one leading the match. So to me, that makes sense. But let's just go back, and I got too far ahead of ourselves a little bit. Let's go back into Raw a little bit, and what you thought about the whole Jason Jordan, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe scenario just taking place.
They're giving us the Roman Reigns treatment with Jason Jordan. They're trying to put him in as many situations possible to make everybody see his development, to make everybody try to like him. Or I don't think it's working. I don't think it's working at all. Like, it's nothing about him. It just seems very bland to me. I mean, he can wrestle, but it just seems very bland to me. I think it's his personality.
I'm having wrestling to Rex. Did you see that catch by Nelson?
I did not.
Aguilar. I know. I heard the sticks over there tapping, by the way. But what I did. I heard you smacking the sticks. But yeah. No. Here's my thing. Repeat what you said, just so I can bring my thoughts.
just the way they're
treating. Jason Jordan. Yeah. I don't see why you don't like Jason Jordan.
No, it's his personality. Just, you ever meet that person?
They
could be kind of cool, but you're like, man, he's a cornball. Like, that's what it reminds me of Jason Jordan. Like, he
Delaware.
Doesn't do anything
half
to you.
Half of Delaware is cornball. Delaware even invented the word cornball.
Whoa.
Okay,
whoa.
Listen. No, come on, don't front. You know I got to open, okay? You know and I know that Delaware is full of a bunch of cornball dudes. You have
I wouldn't know. I don't associate myself with cornballs.
You have a family member that's kind of a cornball. What are you talking about? Damn it, son. What are you
Damn
talking about? Okay, so moving on, right? But no, I did not say, and I see this in him, right? And I've heard a couple other outlets pick up on this because we know they're all out there listening. We know that he's listening, right? So he reminds me of a cross. And hear me out, wrestling fans that may be tuning in for the first time. And hear the story and what I say before it's tweeted and you misunderstand what I'm saying. Or hear me out. If you look at where he is right now in his career, Jason Jordan, he has a little bit of a Rocky Maivia / Maven inside of him. When I saw Rocky Maivia, I didn't see Blue Chipper. I just saw who is this corny dude smiling, nice, you know, paws, size and all. You know what I mean? Like, you saw the Rocky, so okay, well, that's a nice kind of big dude, paws, right? But when I saw Maven, I saw the cornball in him, but I also said, yo, this guy has something. And when I see Jason Jordan, who we know, A, can go in the ring, right? It takes him being with a Triple H. It takes him being with a Roman, a Samoa Joe, a Kurt Angle to help get him over, right? You need the older, experienced guys to help the younger guys get over because clearly he was driven in American Alpha because they took him from American Alpha and brought him here to their solo career. I think just give Jason Jordan time, and I think if fans were – yeah, here it is again. Not getting on fans this week, but just relax a little bit, right? And just let it kind of develop. I think you'll be happy with what you get from Jason Jordan.
Hey, it's just – I'm saying him too much. It's not a knock on his wrestling. His wrestling is very good. He can go in the ring. It's just something about him is just – I'm tired of seeing too much of him. And there's no way that you can make me think that he could even lace Samoa Joe's boots. It's just – maybe I've watched too much Samoa Joe.
I think that's unfair. I'm not warning you like, no, yes, he can. I'm warning you. I'm like, what are you talking about, Willis? No, Samoa Joe. You know what I mean? But Jason Jordan, I think, can go with anybody in wrestling, not just the company. I think he's that good in the squared circle. Now, you know, me and you had our little tussles about the total package. No, he's got the total package yet. He can't put it all together. But in that ring, I think he's really, really good and has the potential to be great. I really see that in Jason Jordan. I don't know what it is. You know how you say, I'll say I'm a day two Cody guy. I'm a day one Jason Jordan guy. I believe in that guy's skills.
You believe that he could be great?
I think
like
he
a
has
bowl
the
of frosted flakes?
I think bowl of frosted flakes, take some bananas and put them in there while you're at it. I think he has the potential of being great.
He'll be Shelton Benjamin reincarnated, if anything.
Well, Shelton Benjamin, for as great as he was, kind of fell short too, right? So to even put him in the Shelton Benjamin's category, are we saying Shelton's not great? Absolutely. We know Shelton Benjamin's not great, right? But that's not even fair for me to say. Shelton Benjamin was great in tag team wrestling. Shelton Benjamin had a great singles run. Shelton Benjamin was Kofi Kingston before Kofi Kingston. That's where the black wrestlers seem to stay in the WWE. They still in that whole above mid card, but not but not top card kind of guys. And I think Shelton Benjamin was there. And I think if he didn't leave, Shelton Benjamin would have still been where he was. Kind of like what you see with Cesaro. Kind of what you've seen. Well, Sheamus won the title, so he was there and got knocked down a peg because of, you know, whatever the case may be. But I think Shelton had a great career. But let's go on with Raw real fast. We got to move on to these nominations today. Your boy, and let me try to put this a certain way. How can I put this? Wentz to the Vanya goes the quarterback strain of the knee. But the knee shall be fixed one day, my friend, because the friends that fly and flock like eagles still have a lead. With 2.1 seconds left in the ball game, can they fly? Eagles fly. What is the thing about Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt? I laughed my tuckus off.
That was the most hilarious, awkward promo I've ever seen. Besides, like, the Sister Abigail thing. Like, it was more hilarious than it was, like, mind-wandering. Like, I don't know. They just kept going back and forth between their two personalities and just, I don't know. I still say this doesn't do any, I'm excited to see what WWE lets Matt Hardy do. As far as this goes, but it's not anything that makes me think that it's going to do anything for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's in this gray zone right now, and he can't get out of it.
Let me ask you this. The fastest blind tag in blind tag history. Who gets over in this rivalry? Because Bray needs the rub, but if Bray gets over, doesn't that kill Matt Hardy?
Matt's going to get it. Matt's going to get it. I believe it's going to be based on something like with Finn Balor, how
does this
you couldn't
get dragged
let...
out to WrestleMania, or this just do they get, you know, because you got Royal Rumble, then you have one other pay per view before WrestleMania for both brands.
I think it gets dragged out as long as Jeff Hardy is out.
Well, Jeff's out to about April. Last time that he gave us an update, he's out to about Mania.
I'll give you Matt Hardy will be in at least 2 to 3 more feuds. Then Jeff comes back and he's woken as well.
Well, I told you a while ago, and yeah, fumble touchdown, game over, bitches. Let's go, Birds. Now I can focus, guys. Welcome to the program.
I already saw that. I was going to say something, but I already saw that when I was talking about Matt Hardy.
You know, watch the computer. So, but I said before that I don't think Brother Miro comes and joins Broken Matt Hardy. I think the WWE, they built the Hardy Boys. Like, that's their creation, right? Matt Hardy got big on his own with the Broken Matt Hardy character. I don't think Brother Miro is over. I think the WWE has always saw, continues to see, Jeff as their guy, as the bigger guy, because what Jeff does. And I think Jeff gets a single push somewhere in that U.S. title, you know, if not traded in the SmackDown shakeup, and we see two brothers on two different brands again. How about that for a scenario? I don't think Brother Nero makes it to the main roster. Welcome to the program, Amy Richmond on the Twitter.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
I'm here. Baby Micah is still doing his thing. And, of course, you know, Baby Emmy, he's doing his thing. He's trying to be funny, but I'm trying to put him down to sleep. But, hey, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. All right, it's a wrestling show. Who's that?
Don't you judge me.
Huh?
Don't you judge my Eagles. Go ahead. Talk about
it. I'm not judging you.
Really?
I'm about to put those guys back at number one with my power ranking. But anyway,
real quick, off topic. Wentz tear his ACL?
Uh-oh. Hold on, stop. What?
Did Wentz tear his ACL?
I didn't get that announcement. They said they was going to wait till they got back to Philadelphia to find out.
I just got that notification from Bleacher Report.
Oh no.
Okay, proceed with the wrestling.
Okay.
I just want to put you in a bad mood now. Proceed with the wrestling.
Oh, no, wrong. Oh, Lord, Dice. I gotta tell you, man, I understand why why you mad about Jason Jordan and why you think he's bland and stuff like that. When Roman Reigns first broke off from the Shield, when he was with the Shield, it was like, who is this Jamoke talking right now? Hey, you should be a solid muscle. You don't sound good when you talk. You don't use words well.
Exactly.
And Jason Jordan right now is at that point where he doesn't word well. And that's fine because WWE has failed to build a lot of new stars, like talking about. So this is what they kind of have to do in the meantime while bringing newer faces but older guys in to do other things like Samoa Joe's and your Finn Balor's and stuff like that.
Carson, they're built perfect. Adam Shepard, Rappaport, Bleed Eagles Green. We win division, we lose Carson Wentz. Torn ACL. And he stayed in the game for 4 more plays and threw a touchdown after that.
Wow. So that means he could play because he played with it. I mean, I don't know if he can still keep going, but I have
the worst part about this is that he took the hit on a play that got called back. On a hit that he didn't even have to take.
Yeah, he did. That's all good. You good. You're gonna be good. We're talking about it tomorrow on SNS. We got you back. Okay? But Dice, like I understand what you're saying about
Jordan. I don't wanna be here tonight. But, y'all got it. I'm out.
Oh, we got it? Uh oh.
You ain't going nowhere, man. Get back here.
You ain't going nowhere. We got the plexis. And you have the list. You got the blessing, and you got the list. Even Mini Mike saying you got the list. You got to stay. But with Jason Jordan, I think a lot of fans, the way he's getting booed right now, the same way Roman Reigns is getting booed, the only difference is it didn't look like, it doesn't look as obvious that Jason Jordan is getting the, like you said, the Roman Reigns treatment versus Roman Reigns, because it's kind of like you can tell that they're building him for Cena 2.0. They were building him to be the guy to carry the company into the next 10 years. Jason Jordan, the main reason why he's getting the heat that he's getting is because he's Kurt Angle's my black son. And so with that push that they're doing is all about Kurt Angle, under Kurt Angle, under Kurt Angle, then it's like, okay, so he's only getting all this stuff because he's Kurt Angle's son. But he sucks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, he keeps getting stuff. He keeps getting opportunities because he's Kurt Angle's son. And that's the story that they're rolling with. And kind of, I think that's the heat that they want him to have. I don't think they want to push him as a face. I think they want to get him a heel run, but they want to do it as the hated face, a la what Mike said earlier, Rocky Maivia. You know, the blue chipper athlete, you know, he looked like he could have went to the Olympics, could have qualified for the Olympics, could have done his due diligence there. Could have been just like his dad in all aspects, but no, he didn't do that. But he wanted to follow his dad to the wrestling ranks, the pro wrestling ranks, and he did his thing from there. So, you know, I see the parallels more so with Rocky, as Mike said, more so than Roman Reigns. So that's why I am pretty much with that, Mike. But I thought Raw was a good show. I like some of the things that were going on. I'm happy for Woken Matt Hardy so that he can keep the broken gimmick when he leaves WWE. I do think they're going to have a little faith in bringing in Brother Nero for the aspects of being able to do the whole Woken gimmick properly. I mean, what's Woken Matt Hardy without Brother Nero, without the nefarious Brother Nero? And if they want to break them up, just like they did when they did in TNA, then they could actually have the Nefarious Brother Nero feud again and do all that stuff all over again, but with WWE's production level. So now with WWE having a real studio company and real production, they can make an entire actual miniseries of nothing but Woken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero and Nefarious Brother Nero. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. Some of that intellectual property, like that ugly, ugly championship belt that Jeff Hardy had in TNA, their Immortal Championship.
God.
Oh gosh, the Immortal Championship belt, and that dude who was pretty much drugged up Hardy. He knew who he was, and he used to an advantage. They could also bring Willow in there, a little crazy. They can go all in with that gimmick if they bring Jeff Hardy back, and then they can break him apart because it'll still be valuable. And Jeff being the part that he plays will still add more value to the Woken gimmick overall. I don't know what you think about that, Dice.
See, the thing is, like. So we got Woken Matt Hardy, and if Brother Nero comes, we still know it's Jeff Hardy. Now, are there at that point, I don't even know if they would let that happen now that I think about it, because there's so many people with split personalities now. You got Bray Wyatt, Sister Abigail, which we've never seen, but we thought we were going to see. You got Finn Balor, and then the Demon King. And then you have, you know, Matt and Jeff with their two alter egos. Would WWE go for that? Four different people with four different egos? I don't know, but I think that, you know, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. They can go so many different directions, and I think that's the great part about it, is because if they did want to take this Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt thing, first of all, Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, just with the minds and the promos that they can do, the promos alone that they can do will be 100 times better than, God forbid, let's never see another House of Horrors match ever again. And please, not another.
Give us a great. Give us what did Bray Wyatt do with the New Day? Was it the Great War?
Something like it. Whatever that was. That was much better than
much
House
better.
Of Horror.
That was basically WWE's. I know, son. I know. That was basically WWE's answer to what the Hardys did in TNA. So, but I can see them. I can see them doing that as well, like you said.
Yeah, the production level on that would be much, much better. I mean, the House of Horrors match could have been really, really good, but it was just the angles and everything was just shot shot nothing like we would imagine it, especially like, what was it, a week or two before we had seen Final Deletion, and that was, I mean, it looked like it was homemade cameras, but it was good. The acting was just horrible, and some of the angles were really off. The drone was very crooked when it was flying everywhere. I mean, it was very sloppily put together, but being with TNA's budget, what were you really going to do? You know? So,
I don't think TNA really funded it. I think Matt Hardy funded most of that.
I believe
Matt Hardy got together and said, we need to use our money for this because TNA ain't got nothing.
You're probably right about that. But for Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, for this thing to work, I think they have to unlock another side of Bray. You have to let Matt Hardy push Bray to another side, and I don't want that side to be Sister Abigail. So Bray has to.
Yeah, I don't want Tranny Bray. I don't want Tranny Bray. Sorry, I respect everybody's lifestyle. It doesn't affect me none, you know. But at the end of the day, there's certain things that work well and certain things that don't work well. You've already destroyed this man's career from a visual standpoint as far as Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt has been the gatekeeper for Roman, been the gatekeeper for Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. He's pretty much been the gatekeeper for the New Day. He's been the one thing that I always argue and always be ticked off about was that Bray Wyatt was supposed to be the guy who truly put The Undertaker down. That he was the guy that should have taken the place of The Undertaker as the new face of fear. All the stuff that he did, the taking of the powers, the entire witchcraft monologue, wearing the double horns, only to lose that Survivor Series and get officially destroyed by guys like Cena and stuff like that along the way, and not really have those signature wins like he should have had, just showing me that was just unfair the way they really went in on Bray Wyatt like that. And
so
and I can't
between Raw and SmackDown, what's your letter grade?
Hey, he's back. Hey, Mike. Hey, baby Mike, say hi to Mike. Say hi to Mike.
Okay. Okay, so really, I wanna actually ask everybody what you guys think of Paige's first match being back. A lot of reports, a lot of people on Twitter that I saw just randomly when I searched Paige, they said she looked gassed. She looked very sloppy. She clearly had ring rust. I think that it's a mixture of those, but more so the fact that she didn't really have much chemistry with Sasha, not being in the ring for over 14 months. So I think it's a combination of both, but I don't think that WWE would let her come back into the ring if they didn't believe that she was ready. So I just think it's a thing of mixture of chemistry that couldn't quite click, them being the first time they were actually in the ring together.
Well, I agree with you on that. I think a lot of times, a lot of people keep on forgetting, you know, in their fandom that, one, she had an injury, a really nagging injury that persisted through her wellness policy violation. Then she had all the situations she had with Alberto El Patron now. Alberto El Patron doing something she been through with him through that whole TNA fiasco and all the stuff that he was doing. And then, of course, the allegations of domestic violence, excuse me, from both of them. You combine that with the fact that she was out with an injury. Of course, she's going to come back. And unlike Charlotte and Sasha, who've been wrestling with NXT, she's not going to have that click with her. So, I mean, I don't find that her match was in particular anything a world beater. But for a person who's been out for a year and a half, I think that was very, very decent and very, very well put together. I think she did fine. You know, she needs to stop wearing all that high red lipstick.
I didn't see any of the matches. All I kept hearing was Dice say, I love her pasty ass. Oh, I love her pasty ass. So I couldn't pay attention. But I love SmackDown. I love Raw this week. I didn't get to see NXT. I don't like what I'm hearing about Nia Jax possibly going to 205. I don't like Nia Jax being with Enzo at all, although she asked for a different
I love it.
I get tired of them. I get tired of them having a plate put a woman with a man every time. They don't know what to do with them. That's why I don't like it. Not that
no, it makes absolute perfect sense. It makes absolute perfect sense. The rumor is, and I kind of believe
well,
it because it actually makes
you don't want to share that for the you don't want to say that to depth of their sheets. We gotta move on. We got like 40 minutes of the program.
Yeah. Let's save that.
Okay. So my belt grade, I'm gonna go ahead and give the week in wrestling, which all I saw was Raw and SmackDown, but I did see Being the Elite, which to me wasn't one of the best episodes. It's been like three episodes in a row where they're talking about Jason Ryan's cock. And it's only with so many episodes I can see them talking about. I get it. I get the Johnson jokes. I get the Joy Ryan got the, you know, the dick plex. I get all that. I get it. It's funny. But can we move on from the dick plex and the dick? I'm just saying. I have my own dick. I got two boys, you know what I'm saying? I got to make sure they clean their dicks. I don't even keep hearing about dicks. And y'all good. It's funny. I get it. But I'm tired of hearing about dicks. So I gave the week in wrestling between the two because I really did love SmackDown. We didn't talk about it much. We won't talk about it. We have to move on. But I really did love SmackDown. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, you know what I'm talking about as well. But I gave the week in wrestling about 4 out of 5 Eddie Guerrero United States title runs when he first brought the color back to the United States belt. I loved it. I thought both shows were absolutely put together very well. And I love everything that Roman did. And I still think, no matter what anybody says, I think Roman is – next to AJ Styles, the best in the company. That's my thought. Don't like it. Listen anyway. Mike, your wrestling belt grade for the week.
My belt grade for the week, I would have to give it one of my consistent ratings. I would give it a 3.5 out of 5. Miz Intercontinental Championship reigns, the never ending Intercontinental Championship reign from his electric promo when SmackDown Live really first broke off. And like I said, there was a lot of good stuff going on. I like the slow burn they're doing with Daniel Bryan, between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon on SmackDown. Kevin Owens is freaking gold. Anyone who tells me otherwise is an idiot. And well, not an idiot, but it's your opinion. But if I had to give you a solid number 2, it will be more so a KO in comparison to Roman Reigns, because minus the look that the non stereotypical look that Vince needs Sami Zayn didn't bring him down. Sami Zayn's just there. I mean, it's all Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn is just literally. I love his wrestling. He's just there. He's really the. He's literally the redheaded stepchild for Kevin Owens. Literally. But I like everything that they're doing on SmackDown. I even like the fact that now Rusev is being respected again. Gosh, I miss Rusev. Rusev is a monster. Rusev
did y'all not pay attention to the video that I sent y'all? I meant to upload it today, and I forgot it to this very moment. If you go back and play that, Rusev's, I'm going to try to find it and upload it before the show is over and pay for the show golf. Give me your dog grade, Dice. We can move on. Nothing to cut you off here, Michael. I'm sorry. But go ahead.
I'm going
to
give this week in wrestling 4 out of 5 Dolph Ziggler Money in the Bank cashed in on Alberto Del Rio title reigns. That I feel like it was surprisingly good to me. But it wasn't that good. So, you know, that's the kind of emotion that I got when Dolph Ziggler, you know, cashed in on Alberto. to win the championship. So it was good, but it could have been better. But, you know, it was good enough to keep my attention and keep me excited about what's going on for the next week. So 4 out of 5, Dolph Ziggler, Money in the Bank, cash in titles.
That's about what I gave it as well. Well, that's exactly what I gave it. That's just about what I would give it. But one thing that I do know is that we've had a pretty good year for professional wrestling. I think wrestling is in a really good place, whether you're a WWE fan, a Ring of Honor fan, a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan, Lucha Underground gearing up for season 4 that's coming back. I thought this year was probably one of the best years we've had in wrestling, and I know that Sheamus took a lot of flack for saying this, I believe, last year, but I'm going to agree with Sheamus. I think right now we have better performers in the ring than we've ever seen in wrestling. I just – the total – I mean, taking nothing away from the Radicals. I mean, I just told to call them right now, but it came to my head. And those guys – and I mean, of course I'm not saying anything, but I just think overall we have more – that can go today than we had before. And I love where wrestling has gone this past year. I like the fact that Cody got out and made a name for himself, something we haven't seen. Honestly, somebody leaving the company and making a bigger name for themselves outside the company than with the company since Christian. So you put all that together, Cena not being there but being there, AJ Styles having the run he's having. I just think this year has been really, really good. And before I go ahead and give you some of my thoughts for the year and give you some of these nominations for the year as well, your thoughts, Dice Man, on the year that's been professional wrestling?
This year has been – it's probably been one of the most exciting for me, simply because there was always something to talk about. Looking back at the year is just – I mean, at the top of it, we had like – you know, we had Taker with the Roman match and – then we had like some low fall. We had some low points, and you know, back in June, Lana was trying to wrestle, and everything was just horribly put together. And then we had the Shield reunion. We had some epic matches. We had, you know, AJ and Cena and AJ and Roman. We had the Shield versus New Day, the Usos versus New Day, Hell in a Cell. So I mean, everything. I try not to look too much into finding out what's going to happen. I kind of just let stories kind of come to me. But this was the first year that I've actually think I've scaled back and trying to look at what's ahead and just be the fan who's going to be surprised. And excuse me. I was actually taken back by this year. I loved everything about this year. And I just can't wait to see what 2018 holds because, you know, there's so many different directions from what we've seen in the past, 2 months that, you know, 2018 can go in so many different directions with, you know, people coming in, people leaving. And there's, I mean, the wheels just keep turning, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Let me ask you this question, Micah, as I'm looking and I had this up. I've been looking this up all day, you know, about early. I'm up in the morning. You guys are still sleeping when I'm up and working. And I came across the Wrestling Observer. We all know who runs the Wrestling Observer, right? That guy, Dave Metzger, whatever the fuck his mama named him, right? You know, in his top 15 wrestling matches for the year, there's only one WWE match in the entire top 15. And it was, and it's nominated for Plexi this year. WWE SummerSlam 2017, Brock Lesnar the winner, took on Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and that fatal four-way. Even his number one match, you already know, his 1, 2, 3 matches consisted of Kenny Ortega versus Okada.
Of course.
All three matches. Of course, he gave it a 6. His ratings are freaking ridiculously stupid. But your thoughts of the year in wrestling here, Micah, real fast.
Well, you know, I thought that wrestling had a fantastic year just overall, and I have to agree with your statement. Sheamus saying what he was saying had nothing to do with necessarily the larger-than-life personalities. Currently, when it comes to larger-than-life personalities, and even though I hate to say it, I'm just going to recognize it for what it is. The current larger-than-life personality in all of wrestling right now is John Cena. He's the only one that has the biggest amount of crossover appeal between all of the brands he's the one. So John Cena can go really go any. Yeah, as far as that's actively wrestling, I know he's part time in it now, and he's almost about to grind his career now. But when it comes down to it, the biggest personality will be him. But in ring workers, and wrestling ability, so many great matches, so many people, and yeah, I can agree with Dave Meltzer that the Okada Omega series can be considered for match of the year. I would say there was some good WWE matches in there, some fantastic Lucha Underground matches in there. Give WWE a little credit. I understand their style isn't necessarily the style of everybody else, but no one else wrestles the schedule that WWE has. So when they do put on a good match, those good matches, I think we should give them credit where credit is due. I think they had at least three or four match of the year candidates, more so than just one. But this is Dave Meltzer. Hashtag Meltzer versus Knox. I'm looking forward to that wrestling match. I know you're going to be training NXT very, very soon. Y'all go ahead and get on NXT TV.
I don't have to train to whoop his ass. That's your bottom dollar there. I can train like Damon Wayans in the Great White Hype and whoop Dave Meltzer's ass. Okay. So.
God.
With Jello,
yeah, it was a great year.
Okay.
Great year. It was a great year to wrestle down.
Well, let's go ahead and get into these nominations. I'm having difficulties on my end over here, Micah. Are you able to go into the in there and upload the song?
Let me see.
So I'm having difficulties on my end uploading the song right now. It's not letting me. Oh, here it is. I got it. It finally said it wanted to work after I actually did something. What else is new, right? Go figure. Two tears in the bucket. You know the rest, don't you? If you don't, you're ready to be about to find out. Okay, where did it go? It was up here. It was just here a second ago. It was all good just a week ago. All right, there it is. All right, so the nominees for this year's Plexi Awards. Now, people, do me a favor. Shut the fuck up, okay? Because you have your own award show if you want one, okay? Here it is. Where's the list? I had the list. I put it in here. This is what happens when we have a long conversation.
You just made the list.
What? No, I didn't make the list. I'm trying to find the list. I had the list. And every time I find the list, Vaughn texts me in the same text message, and it moves it back all the way to the bottom. Okay, here it is. So nominees for Match of the Year. And the participants, we had 2017's revamped War Games that took place at NXT TakeOver Houston. We have NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 women's match between Asuka and Ember Moon. We have Roman versus Undertaker at WrestleMania, the retirement of The Undertaker. We have AJ Styles versus John Cena, Royal Rumble, on this as well. We have, in my opinion, the Raw Fatal 4-Way match to determine who would face Brock Lesnar between, remember, Big Cass, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and I believe John Cena was in that one, giving Roman Reigns. And then we have the aforementioned Okada versus Omega match. There are your nominees. I hope you got them all wrote down properly. There, Ping Vaughn, put a poll up, please, for me for all these categories. Hashtag Plexi. That's with three X's. You already know why. So, match of the year again, Okada versus Omega. Raw Fatal 4-Way match for the number one contendership for Brock Lesnar. Roman versus Undertaker. AJ Styles versus John Cena. Asuka versus Moon. And, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot one match. I do a pause. I don't think you can get all these in there as a poll, to be honest with you. Vaughn, so don't worry about it. I just said I forgot that one. And then we have the Usos versus the New Day at Hell in a Cell. So there you nominees. The Usos, New Day, Hell in a Cell, War Games, Asuka versus Moon, Roman versus Taker, AJ versus Cena, Raw Fatal 4-Way match, Okada versus Omega. There's your match of the year candidate. Dice. Are you still playing Capcom versus Marvel?
I am not. I'm on the Twitter. I am on the Twitter.
Okay. He is on the Twitter. Your thoughts of the match of the year candidate so far? You think we got a good list to come together? I think it's kind of actually a hard category, to be honest with you.
It is a very hard category, only because there's so many matches that you see week in and week out. And you try not to, like, you know, you try not to just look at pay-per-views, because sometimes the matches on the regular shows, sometimes they're put together way better than the pay-per-view matches. But I think this list is pretty much nailed as I'm looking back at it. And I really can't say any match set in stone for me personally. But everything that I'm thinking is like a tie. Like it's a tie between, you know, certain matches. But for me personally, I am voting for the Usos versus the New Day, simply because that was a match that we didn't think that I don't think that everybody thought that those teams could go that far, especially in a Hell in a Cell. Not to mention, there's four African Americans. I know they're Samoans. They're still African Americans, damn it. So I'm going with those people. We didn't see that side of New Day. We needed to see another side of the New Day, and the Usos bought it out in that Hell in a Cell. And so that did it for me. I mean, at that point, I think I was pretty much kind of – I was tired of seeing these two teams battle. So that brought another dynamic, and it made me really excited about seeing where the Usos are going to go for the next year. So that does it for me. AJ versus Cena is a very close second for me. And just to be on the fair side, I think we should have did a women – like, do we have a women's match of the year?
No, there is no. I normally don't typically have a women's match of the year. That's something. That's a category I've never had. You know, all my categories have names. The match of the year category, I call it the WrestleMania 3 Steamboat versus Ricky the Dragon. I mean, Steamboat versus Macho Man match of the year. That's what I call it. That's the Steamboat Savage match of the year candidate. I never had a women's one there. Never thought about it, to be honest. Nothing against the women. Maybe next year.
I feel like Asuka versus Ember Moon definitely deserves some recognition. Women's match of the year.
Category.
Yeah. I mean, but it's kind of unfortunate that they're not going to win it.
Was that Sasha and Charlotte's Hell in a Cell match? I thought was freaking incredible for those two ladies to go at it. So again, I'm taking nothing away from the women on this one. Then we have, for what I like to call the LOD Award, the Legion of Doom Award, we have the Tag Team of the Year. We have the Authors of Pain from NXT. They held the belt for over 187 days, tag team titles. We have Friends of the Program, Luke Hawkins and Davey Boy Smith, tanned up over there, overseas in New Japan. We have the Usos. We have the Young Bucks. We have the New Day. And we have the Bar. What do you think about the categories for the LOD Award this year there, Micah?
Very, very good categories. Very good people for the category. If you think about it, when the Raw completely almost skewered their tag team division, where it almost didn't seem like there was any viable tag teams until they started resurfacing the Shield again. The Bar was handling their business, man. They were doing their thing against Luke Gallows and Anderson. They were doing their thing against the Hardys. You know, they were really holding it down. And, you know, Sheamus, as I was saying in the chat, he's a soldier, man. He is an Iron Man among Iron Men. I still think he and Dolph Ziggler are still neck and neck close in having the most on TV and house show matches of any other WWE wrestler that's active on the roster. They wrestle more than anybody else. They put more into it than anybody else. And I give Sheamus credit. Sheamus and Cesaro credit when credit is due, man. They've been doing their thing. I give them props. However, and I know we got the Friends of the Program. I can only go on what I've been watching. And from what I've been watching, the people who had the most memorable matches so far has been the Usos. And the Usos have been partnered with the New Day in a way that they set off tag team division that made the tag team division on SmackDown more watchable, and you wanted to tune in to see what they were going to do. The promos were fantastic. The Usos improved in so many different areas of their abilities to do things. Granted, some of the moveset is still the same, but just the attitude with the moveset, the attitude with their promos, the way they developed this Uso Penitentiary, all of that came
on the cusp of them turning heel, on them saying, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and be totally different. And then when they had a fantastic dance partner, which every good tag team, every good singles wrestler needs a fantastic dance partner, they found their niche with the New Day, and it was gold, gold, gold. Every last one of their pay-per-view matches were great. And the Hell in a Cell match, of course, was fantastic as well. So if I was picking, it would be the Usos for Tag Team of the Year because of everything that they've done.
I definitely have to agree with that. Simply because, you know, I got the bar with a very close second to the Usos, simply because watching what the bar did and how they came together, nobody was watching. Nobody was really interested in that best of seven series. Nobody really was. So Sheamus and Cesaro were able to do the famous wrestling term, turning chicken shit into chicken salad. That's exactly what they did, and they kept adding on to it bit by bit by bit, and now it's a phenomenon. And you know, people, they respect, you know, the work that these guys do in the ring, but their characters are heelish, so they have to boo them, but they acknowledge and they show appreciation to the actual skills, and you know, little by little they're getting better on the mic as well. But Cesaro don't need to take that damn mouthpiece out. That's the only thing.
He can't.
Take the mouthpiece out. Gum it up, then, man. Gum it up. Gum it up, man.
You know what? I know a lot. You do a lot of things with gums. You do a lot.
What's the next category?
Hold on, just so I can get this out there, though. Micah, I'm sending you. Not Micah. I apologize. Vaughn, I sent you the name of the categories, give you a hint of what we are. So we need to get them out there properly. What means we get them out there properly? So we just named match of the year, which we entitle the we call the match of the year, which last year, by the way, was won by Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. Okay, but I call the match of the year the WrestleMania 3. Ricky Steamboat versus Macho Man Randy Savage Plexi Award. So now we're going to talk about pay-per-view of the year, which did I have a name for that? No, we had the LOD Award with the tag team, with the LOD Award, which last year was won by the New Day. Okay. The Bret Hart Award is the best wrestler. The Rocky Maivia Award is the biggest newcomer. The HBK Comeback Award was won by Seth Rollins last year. And we call the Stinger Award the new guy coming in because, you know, Sting made his debut into WWE. And we have the Best There Is, the Best of Us, the Best Ever Will Be Award. Also, that is the Best of the Year. That is the Wrestler of the Year Award. So right now, I'm sorry. I got two different things going on, guys. Sorry. So now we have match of the year. We have LOD award of the year. Now we have what I call the Miss Elizabeth Woman of the Year award. No longer female or diva award. And the nominees are Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Asuka, and Charlotte Flair. Last year won by Charlotte Flair. The nominees this year, Dice, I'm in heavy favor of Asuka. Now, I'm on record for saying that I think Charlotte is the dopest. She's my favorite female wrestler of all time, this stage of her career already. And I think this stage of her career already, she's the best women's wrestler I've ever seen in, out, and all around the wrestling ring. Only person to me that comes even remotely close to her as far as the impact that she has, and this is my opinion, don't like it, listen anyway, was someone like a Sensational Sherry, who may have been before you got this time, but was 100% dope on the microphone, dope as a valet, and all that it encompasses. But I think what Asuka has accomplished in being pretty much the female Goldberg, I think was pretty damn impressive this year. Dominating NXT. She's going to be on the main roster now. for about a little bit over a month, set about four matches maybe, undefeated. But, I just think the sky's the limit with Asuka. We know what's there. You're in love with her interest so much, you changed your WWE 2K18 entrance to her music. You actually even said you want to have sex with Asuka with the mask on. It's how much you're impressed with her there, Dice Man. My leading favorite for the Miss Elizabeth Award this year is Asuka. Your take on it, Dice Man?
Listen, as much as I love me some Asuka, I have to give this to Alexa Bliss. Me personally, I have to give it to Alexa Bliss only because Asuka's match, the last match she had in NXT, that Ember Moon, I will say this to the death of me, she should have lost that match because Ember Moon wrestled her ass off. She out-wrestled Asuka in that match, and she had deserved to win that. I understand what WWE wanted to do with the women's the NXT Women's Championship, but Ember Moon definitely deserved that, and not 2 months after Asuka was gone, or however long she was gone for. But I have to give it to Alexa Bliss because she is the counterpart of Charlotte. She's, you know, the opposite of Charlotte. She's short, you know. Charlotte mm-hmm. is the tall athletic one. She's the short athletic one. She can talk with the best of them in the ring just as Charlotte can. She can wrestle with the best of them just as Charlotte can. And I think that what we got to see at Survivor Series between the both of them is only a taste. It's a small taste of what's gonna come in 2018. And so I definitely got to go with Alexa Bliss. She's doing the same exact thing that Charlotte is doing, but I think that since Charlotte is Flair's daughter, she gets a little bit more, you know, acknowledgement. But mm-hmm. if you look at the other shows, Alexa Bliss is doing the exact same thing. They're on a collision course. This is similar and very reminiscent to SmackDown. This is very reminiscent to I'm going to take y'all back. PlayStation 2, the very first SmackDown versus Raw video game, where the opening scene was a collision course between Randy Orton and John Cena, if I'm not mistaken. I probably am, but I one of those games had Randy Orton, John Cena, and forever those their two careers were always linked. So I think that's pretty much how Charlotte and Alexa Bliss is going to be, barring if both of them are stay healthy.
Micah, Woman of the Year, the Miss Elizabeth Award nominees. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I can't fault you for siding with Asuka, her dominance and everything that she did to build up the women's division in NXT. Because if you think about it, the major callers from NXT, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Paige, when they all got called up, you know, NXT women's division was looking like, what do we have left? Everyone's gone. And all the what makes the women's division, here's Asuka. Ooh, wonderful. And then the hottest woman on the roster, I'm just saying, and then the hottest woman on the roster came in, Ember Moon. I mean, she, you know, if I wasn't married and she was available and she actually had an interest, and she was a chubby chaser, and she was a chubby chaser like JoJo, well, you know, you'd be seeing me at a lot more NXT shows. Just saying, I mean, just calling what it is. You know, the Ember Moon came along, Ruby Riott came along, you know, the other people that they actually called up to the main roster now, but the division was thriving and has been thriving since she was there. And because she was there, she raised the level of competition. You don't know who was already raising the level of competition prior to her getting there? Charlotte. Charlotte was already taking care of that. You know how hard it is, Mike Knox, and your son will know how hard it is.
Blind tag. Are we wrong for not including Naomi in this? I think we're adding instantly Naomi to this category.
Okay, well, no, that was bay number two if she wasn't married to one of the friends of the program. And she was a stubborn person like JoJo as well. But I can understand Ab Naomi too, because Naomi did. When's the last time we had a black woman champion?
Exactly.
Was it Jazz? No. I mean, actually black.
Oh, okay.
I ain't talking about partial. I ain't talking about Obama black. I'm talking about actual black.
See, I don't like the poll. We can't do a poll system on Twitter because you can only put four people in a category. And so
you can do two separate polls and it'd be the same poll. It just tally it up.
That's too much work for me. That's too much work for me.
Okay, well, so, that's why you got to face.
I'm throwing Naomi in that category. I think it's unfair to not talk about Naomi in the year she had. I mean, she is the first female to change the belt. To change the belt,
yeah.
And I mean, I want to think about maybe Natalya finally getting the title, so she should also be nominated. So I'm going to put her in there too. Natalya, Charlotte, Alexa Bliss. Sasha Banks, Naomi, and Asuka. That's your Miss Elizabeth nominee. I mean, you have to throw Natalya had a dope year. I don't think her year is better than Naomi.
She didn't have a better year than Naomi. Naomi had a better year than her.
I don't think no one besides I think, looking on the surface of things, Charlotte and Asuka are the only ones that had a better year than Naomi. I know Alexa Bliss had a dope year, and you know I'm blissfully blissed with Alexa, but it just really, I mean, I throw her in there too. I think those four women shine over everybody, and we might have to take everybody else out of this category. How about that?
I think we do. I think you have to dumb it down and put the four most
really
dominant for the year.
To those four. The four most dominant women this year have been Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, and Asuka. Hands down.
I would agree with that list.
Absolutely.
Have the eyes spoken? Sustained. There it is. Now you can put that poll up there. The Miss Elizabeth Plexi Award nominees, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Asuka, and Charlotte Flair for Woman of the Year. That's a dope and hard category, people. Vote on that as many times as you're allowed to, which I think it's once. If you got more than one Twitter account, you can vote more than once. Okay? So there you have it. Please put that up there. The Miss Elizabeth Plexi Award nominees for Woman of the Year, Alexa Bliss, Naomi, Charlotte, and Asuka. Wow, that's a hard ass category, fellas. Woo! That woman's gonna be, I don't think you'll lose, to be honest. So then we have Storyline of the Year. No fancy name for this one. That's one you guys want to come up with, done with it right now. One's a rapper, one can flow. I'm gonna start with you, Dice. Give me a name for Storyline of the Year.
I don't have one.
There's so many names.
Yeah, it's just what it is.
I just pick, right, it's just Storyline of the Year. The nominees are Best Friends Forever, Jericho and Kevin Owens. Cody, Ring of Honor. I'm sorry, guys. That is one of the dopest storylines with this Ring of Honor. He makes them kiss the ring. I absolutely love it. Roman retiring The Undertaker. I was there. It was crazy. Hugo, you made me miss it. The end of it. That's all I'm gonna say about that. And The Shield getting back together. Storyline of the Year, The Shield back together again. Roman retires Undertaker. Cody's Ring of Honor and Best Friends Never. In this category there, Micah and me, Richmond on the Twitter, what's been your favorite of those four right there?
Oh my gosh, man. You really got me between Roman retiring, quote, I'm putting that in quotations, retiring The Undertaker, and Best Friends Never. Because for a long time, for a better part of almost, it was almost 6 months, where it was the Best Friends line for KO and Jericho, it was perfect. It fit everything you needed. It gave you everything. It was funny. And, of course, every time Jericho put someone on a list, it was always gold. And just, you knew the shoe was going to drop. You were just waiting for how it was going to drop. And when it did the way it did, it was masterfully done. Both Jericho and Kevin Owens, made that what it was, and there were so many people invested in them that it was really, really good. However, the other guy who made people just as much invested was one Roman Jonathan Anthony Felix Horatio Reigns, and Rodriguez Reigns. And the reason why I put that in there was because he was getting everything that one John Anthony Felix Cena was getting up until that point. And, you know, you solidify that he's going to be your guy when Taker signs off on it, when Vince signed off on it, everyone in the back, everyone who matters in the decision, signed off on him going over at WrestleMania. Because so many fans hate this guy for – I hate him because of the way he's been booked. They hate his wrestling. They hate the fact that he's like Cena 2.0, even though he's way cooler than John Cena ever will be. He looks cooler. He acts cooler. He's not a cornball. When they try to book him like a cornball, they realize that was stupid. All the things pointed to me to the Roman Reigns take a direction, because how else are you going to get him more heat to the point where now everything you do with him, people are just going to be so emotionally invested, because that's what they want. They want the reaction. They don't care if you like it or not, but if you have a reaction, then you get it. The whole emotional reaction to him beating Taker was so great that it took the Shield coming back together for it to totally disappear. Like, that's the only thing that trumped him beating Undertaker, was that he had to get back with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, form the Shield, and confuse everyone who wanted to boo him, and because now everyone's self-destructed and they short-circuited, and now they cheer him. People who didn't like him when he was beating Undertaker. So I have to go with that one, because it cemented a lot of things for Roman Reigns coming into this year, and is passing along. It's going to be passed along through, because I know next person. So Undertaker, quote unquote, retired. He left his gear in the ring and stuff with his boots. I thought the whole thing was, when you leave your boots in the ring.
We spoke on that before, and I brought that up immediately after WrestleMania as well. But I think with the respect that Taker gets and his gimmick, and what we know, what we heard about him, the dirt sheets aside, that he was a locker room guy, his character would leave the coat and the hat. When it comes to Mark Callis, the Undertaker, his hat and jacket is more synonymous, and he's bigger than the boots. Not saying he's bigger than wrestling, but him retiring the boots, I get it. I understand the symbolicness of it and what it means and what it represents, but I think the hat and the coat represents more his character. And I'm not even a big Undertaker fan. I respect him. Always been a fan from afar, but he's never been my guy. But you have to repay respect that way. That was the end all to be all right there. Moving on in the nominations, get these over so we can go ahead and get the dirt sheet in there. So we have storyline of the year again. We have the Shield back together. Roman retires. Taker, Cody, Ring of Honor, Best Friends Never. Now we have the Jake the Snake. This is a new award. The Snake Pit of the Year Award. Last year, I dubbed it. Matter of fact, we're going to repeat that. I'm sorry. I'm going back to the name I had before, guys. The Mouth of the South Jimmy Hart Award for Best Wrestling Talk Show. The Jimmy Hart Mouth of the South Award for Best Wrestling Talk Show. Being the Elite. Sorry. It is absolutely funny. If you have nothing to do at work one day and you have about an hour, just sit there and watch these shows. They are absolutely hilarious, and it's funny to them. It's like an insider thing. I can't even explain how brilliant it is that they put this together. And Cody, who I thought at first didn't fit, fits very well. Then we have Miz TV, which is the Miz. There's nothing to Miz with a microphone he touches doesn't become AKA Roddy Piper, CM Punkish. He is that good on the microphone. Then we have the show you're fucking listening to, Bickham, Perfect West Talk Radio. All right? Because I know for a fact that any other wrestling podcast that has the balls and the audacity to come step into this arena better be ready. Because I know I'm going to eat you up and spit you out, which is kind of nasty now you think about it. Right, you know what I'm trying to say. But I got rappers here that can get you to do this work as well. So there it is. The Mouth of the South Award.
That wasn't weird until you made it weird.
Okay, well, the Mouth of the South Award, Wrestling's Best Talk Show, Being the Elite, Miz TV, and Perfect Plex Talk Radio. I think we even won an award out here. Yes, we are, and it is Wrestler of the Year. The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be award. And we have to get this down to four guys. It has to be four guys. I want to spend about 5 minutes on this. The nominees are, so far, we got to narrow it down, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Y2J, Cody Rhodes, and Omega. Now, I go first, guys, on what I think the four should be. Despite how I feel about the guy, he's had a fucking awesome year. Kenny Omega. Cody Rhodes leaving the company to me has had the biggest, one of the biggest impacts, shall I say, on wrestling with him leaving and what they've been able to do with the new Bullet Club than we've ever seen. Then we have Braun Strowman, enough said. Has anybody been booked better than Braun Strowman? And then to me, and I'm being honest, it goes a toss-up. Last year, two-time Plexiglas Award winner AJ Styles, he just continues to be AJ Styles. Is this one of them awards where he's like LeBron James or Michael Jordan, where he can win it every freaking year, but he, you know, we already know what he can do? Then you have Brock Lesnar, who, you know, can he really be in this category being a part-timer, although every single match he was in was very big this year? And then who I think is not the guy, but I think he is the guy, Roman Reigns.
Oh, God.
I will bow out of this one, okay? I'm going to give you my three and let you guys pick the fourth. I'm going to go with three of these people, Omega, Cody, and Braun. Who gets the fourth spot? Y2J, Brock Lesnar, AJ Styles, or Roman Reigns? Starting with you, guys.
All right, well, I'm going to – you know who I'm going with. You already know who I'm going with. I'm going with AJ Styles. He's been pretty consistent this year. He's carried SmackDown, and I don't think that it really comes close. I mean, Jericho's been very good for the past year. However, he's been on and off the past year. So he's similar. He's sort of in that part-time era with Brock Lesnar. And he hasn't really – I mean, his main event involvements had nothing to really do with a title, honestly. So I find it very hard to put Y2J into that category. And I just don't feel like Roman had a big enough year for him to be in that. So my fourth person
is –
Is he really retired, though?
As of right now, storyline, I mean, hell. Wasn't Adam Cole dead and they brought him to NXT?
Okay, you got a point. Just me personally, I will put AJ Styles in that last spot. However, my vote is not for AJ Styles for this past year.
Okay. Micah, you got?
AJ Styles has to get the fourth slot, point blank and period. No one else has carried the whole company on his back when he literally says SmackDown Live is the house that AJ Styles built. Not SmackDown, SmackDown Live is the house that AJ Styles built over this last year. He carried that mid card and the main card just by being on the roster. And that's really hard for someone to do. And that's why Roman Reigns doesn't get the nod for me. In comparison, because John Cena said it best. I had to come back because you weren't doing your job. So, your three plus AJ, I will have to go with them. I would vote AJ, but I could understand the other three. Mostly Braun.
I can understand Brock. I can really understand Brock. Brock. The whole Goldberg thing, losing the title, I know that people didn't like it, the end of it, but when it first happened, everybody popped for it. Everybody had that nostalgic feeling. I mean, hell, Goldberg could have been nominated in this award if he'd have stayed for more than 4 months, you know? But I go ahead and let AJ take the fourth slot. AJ Styles, Braun Strowman, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega for the best there is, the best there was, the best there will be. Bret Hart Award. Let's recap these things so we get out of here and get into the hashtag Death to Dirt Sheet. We have pay-per-view of the year. We have WrestleMania. We have SummerSlam. We have Hell in a Cell. No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. Repeat it. WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Wrestle Kingdom 11, or was that 10? Help me out there, guys. Y'all know my math ain't too good. And, okay, I'm throwing it out there, War Games. War Games, Wrestle Kingdom 11, SummerSlam, WrestleMania, pay-per-view of the year. There it is, Micah. I mean, Vaughn, get them so you can, we can put the poll up, please. And repeat them one time and slowly so you can get them ready for the poll, okay? Write them out if you have to. Pay-per-view of the year, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Wrestle Kingdom, Hell in a Cell. Match of the year, Okada Omega, Roman Taker, War Games, Hell in a Cell, Usos versus New Day. Wrestler of the year, Omega, Cody, Braun, AJ. Tag Team of the year, the LOD Awards, The Bar, The New Day, The Usos, The Young Bucks. Get the theme there? Everybody has The in their name. The Bar, The New Day, The Young Bucks, The Usos. Woman of the year, Flair, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, and Naomi. Storyline of the year, The Shield, Roman retires Taker, Cody's Ring of Honor, Best Friends Never, the Piper's Pit Award named by King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter, Being the Elite, Miz TV, Perfect Plex Talk Radio. There you guys have it. Come back next week. We will give you the winners. Dice, death to dirt sheets, my friend. What do you have for me this week? We're going to change it up, right? We're going to give you – he's going to give us a dirt sheet, guys, and we will say too sweet or I got two words for you, and we're going to suck it. Go ahead.
All right. So first one we have right now is the latest on Brock Lesnar is that he will have a match at Royal Rumble, but the Universal title likely won't be on the line. We'll find out when he returns to Raw on December the 18th. Too sweet or two words for you?
I'm going to say... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say two words for you. There's no way you have one of the four flagship pay-per-views of the year, and that's how you kick off WrestleMania season. There's no way that you're going to have one of the four and not have that title on the line in any aspect. I don't see it.
I concur with that. I got two words for you. Suck it in that one. There's no way Brock comes back and settles on the line, even if he just wins it. Too sweet or suck it there, Micah?
Suck it. You can't have a Brock Lesnar match with no championship on the line. That's why he's there, to make the championship mean something and to be a special attraction.
For some reason, nobody understands this concept. I don't understand why people do not understand that concept at all. I don't. I mean, do you want to see your light heavyweight champion in UFC defending his title on some random Friday night TV half an hour show? No, I don't want to see that. It has nothing, like, it does nothing at all.
I'm so over the part-time crap. I don't mind the part-time. I just don't. I mean, he's a major key, as they say, major keys, right? What's next for the somebody keeps calling in and hanging up, so I don't know who the hell that is. Somebody must be drunk dialing. Suck it or too sweet?
So the next one is pretty much we saw the seeds planted on Monday. Nia Jax was put with Enzo Amore to keep her away from Asuka and Absolution, according to Wrestling Observer. I am going to say too sweet. I am buying everything about that. Let Asuka deal with Absolution first. Then you let Nia deal with Asuka. But I expect Asuka and Nia Jax to cross paths maybe after WrestleMania, maybe SummerSlam-ish type match. That's just, you know, they can go ahead and drag this Absolution and Asuka thing out for a while. So I don't see Nia doing anything relevant to the women's division until maybe Mania or after Mania.
I'm going to say too sweet to that as well, how you've explained it. I didn't understand it at first where it came from, but it makes completely sense right now for it to be that way. Tomorrow, guys, make sure you tune in to Soul and Sports on Fox Sports Radio. We're bringing you the BBSR Network, presented by Fox Sports, Top 25 Females of 2017, the Music Edition. Micah, real fast, too sweet or suck it?
Too sweet to that. That makes perfect sense.
All right, here you guys go. If you haven't heard it, here it is now. The world premiere, Rusev Day. Next Sunday, guys, Perfect Plex Talk Radio for the Plexi Award.
Bulgarian Bruce, you know I'm Matcha. I say the fighter. I'm the venom in his little teeth, you know I'm the jungle. I mean the lion in the Bulgarian jungle. I kinda butchered that line, cause it's the Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
Yeah, it's my day.
It's my day.
Today is Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
I matcha every day.
Matcha.
Matcha, matcha.
I always crush, and then I'm elated. That means I'm happy, and I always knew the word really young. Didn't have to tell me, but when she did, I was elated again. Because it's Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
Yeah, it's every day.
It's every day.
Welcome to Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
Bulgarian holiday.
Rusev,
Rusev,
Rusev, Masha.
Eat your heart out, tiny dog Ziggler. Remember when I stole your hot summer? The summer is over, I am beautiful Lana. Somebody call it in English because I'm elated. And tell Randy Orton I have his tiny little fight
for the Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
Bulgarian holiday.
Holiday.
Yeah, cause it's Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
It is the only day.
Bulgarian
Halloween,
Rusev.